Hi everyone, and welcome back to Girls in Pole Position. We're Jasmine, Gemma, and Amrit, and this week we're going to be discussing the US Grand Prix that took place over the weekend in Austin. But first off, we wanted to talk about racing as a whole and say congratulations to Jamie Chadwick for taking her second consecutive W Series championship. Gemma, what were your thoughts on that?
Well, I have been following W Series a lot more this season. I wasn't really into it in the first season. I wasn't really aware it was a thing. But after hearing about how well Jamie was doing, I decided I needed to start following it. And I just think it's incredible that she's won it 2 years in a row now. Every year that they've done W Series, she's been the champion. I think she's incredibly talented, and I'd love to see her get another opportunity in a different series, seeing as she now has too many super license points to continue with W Series. I thought it all came down to the last weekend of the championship, which was really exciting, and what I'm secretly hoping will happen with Formula One this season as well. But yeah, she was incredible, and it was really nice to see her win again.
Yeah, I think it's just really good that they've done this W Series to give more opportunities to women to help promote women in motorsports. But I do hope that they do some progress with it and that Jamie can progress either into F3 or F2.
Definitely, because it'd be great to see even in F1 women on the grid, because it's such a male-dominated sport. But I feel like women and young girls who want to do karting should feel like they have a place in the sport.
I feel like Jamie stands a good chance because she's got a lot of affiliations with Williams as well. Like, I think she's one of their test drivers. She's definitely one of their academy drivers. I'm not sure exactly what her role is, but she's definitely involved with Williams. So it would be nice to see them give her a seat at some point in the future. But yeah, as Jasmine said, it would just be great to see her in F3 or F2 even at this point.
Yeah, I just hope that they take the W Series seriously because I feel like Gemma was telling me earlier that it's like the same between like F3 and F4. So I just kind of hope that they can recognise that and just get people who are good at it to progress onto the next stage.
Definitely. Now back onto the US Grand Prix for Formula One. And I think definitely this week we saw that Formula One is breaking into the US a lot more. There's been a struggle previously because they didn't have as big of a fan base there, but it seems to be more popular now. But there were lots of fans there and many famous faces. Do you think this was down to Drive to Survive, or what do you think caused this change?
I think it was down to Drive to Survive. I think that series has been hugely popular. I think it's got a lot of American fans, which has then in turn sort of increased the overall fans for F1. I think this year, like, it was the biggest year in the US in terms of they had the most people there. So I definitely think it was down to Drive to Survive.
I think as well, Drive to Survive has really opened the doors for this, but it's also due to how much the teams are using social media now as a platform to grow the audience. Like a few years ago, it was completely different to how it is now. They weren't utilizing platforms like TikTok and YouTube anywhere near the amount they do now. So it's really great to see them use those platforms because obviously the American fans can access those just as much as the European fans can. And I think that's also really helped, but I don't think that would have happened had it not been for Drive to Survive either.
Yeah, I think Formula One struggled to break into a while now. Like, it's just never, for some reason, it's just never been as big there, and I think they finally managed to achieve that now, and Netflix has definitely had a big play in that.
I definitely agree. And seeing Checo's fans come over, that was really heartwarming to see, because it was essentially one of his closest home races. So I think that, yeah, it is great that they've got a US fan base, and I hope that next year it continues. And yeah, more fans, more races. And with the Miami race next year, I'm sure that it will grow even more. Because having two races in the US, I'm sure that's something that Formula One as a whole have wanted to achieve for a long time. And do you think it will be as popular still?
I think so. I think the Miami one is going to attract a lot of fans from like other places in America because it's such a big destination and it's probably a bit more accessible for people to get to than Texas, which is obviously quite far down south in America. So yeah, I think it'll be just as big as the Texas one has been in the past year, honestly. It's not been the biggest race in previous years. Obviously, we didn't have one in 2020, but this year has really proven that it is a big event, having a lot of famous faces there. I think America will really grasp onto the whole atmosphere of Formula One in a way. The glitz and the glamour of the paddock, I think they love it. And they've not really been exposed to it in the same way as the European fans have. And yeah, I just think they'll love it. Obviously, America's very glitz, very Hollywood and everything, and I think they'll relish in the opportunity to walk the paddock if they're famous. So I think Miami is going to be even bigger than Texas for that, really.
Yeah, I do think Miami's going to generate a lot of excitement.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And onto the race itself, there were lots of engine penalties before the race even began, which dramatically affected the grid, affecting Bottas, Vettel, Alonso, and Russell. And what do you think about this strategy? Because I feel like so many drivers have taken engine penalties so far this season, and Russell moving up so many places, 6 places by lap one, it's showing that they do have more power in the car, but is it affecting them in the long run because they're not finishing in the podium places and they take an engine penalty?
I think Bottas is one of the ones I've noticed it with the most because he has taken so many
Yeah,
recently. I know
yeah.
obviously one of them the other week was a very strategic one to try and hold Max back, which didn't pay off. We all saw him zoom by immediately. Part of me thinks they shouldn't have taken that one, and they should have just let Bottas stay near the front and kind of fend Max off for longer. But that was the strategy call they made. I don't think it was the right one, but I don't really understand why they needed to take another one this race. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, but I mean, I guess if the car is going to be better for it, then it could be a strategic decision. But obviously, it didn't really benefit Alonso because he had to retire anyway. So yeah, I guess it depends on the team and how desperately they do need the engine. I think Max made a very good call to take it when he had that grid penalty the other week because he was already taking a grid penalty, so might as well take the extra few places back with the engine penalty. But I think it depends on the team, to be honest. It obviously did benefit Russell in lap one because he was zooming past everyone.
Yeah, I think that Bottas is now on his sixth internal combustion engine of the season when the limit is normally three. So that just kind of shows that Mercedes really are pushing that strategy. I don't know if it's working, but that is something that they're definitely going for.
It seems like they're trying everything they can at this point.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, Bottas is actually, he's third in the championship at the moment. Like, he's doing better than Perez. So out of the two biggest teams, he's the best second driver that we have at the moment. Obviously not in this race because Checo was on the podium, but yeah, I feel like Bottas is doing a pretty decent job, and I think he's got a lot better in the second half of the season than he was in the first. I think he had a lot of bad luck in the first half, but I do think Bottas has really, really stepped up in the past few races, and I think he's actually doing pretty well. And obviously Mercedes are leading the Constructors' Championship, so that speaks for itself.
Yeah, that is true. And I feel like Russell being in last place, he said that it was nice to be on the attack instead of the defence, because normally he does quite well in qualifying and he has to try and defend his position and it never works. So it was quite good that he managed to actually overtake six people in one lap. Like, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was nice to actually see him get the chance to show he can do that rather than, obviously he's Mr. Saturday and everyone knows that. He qualifies in the top 10 and then his car's great for one lap pace and then he cannot fight off other people when it comes to doing 50 odd laps. So yeah, it was nice to get to see him do that as well and get to actually fight his way and get some good overtakes in there.
Yeah, because I think he is a good defender, but his car just isn't made for that. So next year it'll be interesting to see him use that strategy more to defend rather than having to attack all the time in a Williams. So obviously, as we've said, Max on pole, and the top 10 was made up of the five best teams, which I thought was seen, which was quite satisfying to watch on qualifying with the Red Bulls and Mercedes and McLaren, Ferrari, AlphaTauri all in a row. Yeah, so I was quite surprised to see that. Like, it was what you'd expect to see, looking at the Constructors and Drivers Championship, and there wasn't like the red herrings in there, like George Russell qualifying in the top 10.
Somehow it was like what you expect to see, but also not, because there's usually red herrings in there.
Yeah.
So it was somehow weird to see
Yeah,
what
that's what,
you'd
yeah.
expect.
It's like what's meant to happen, but it never does.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. No, it was very oddly satisfying because at one point they were like literally in their
Their
pairs
pairs.
on the listing. It didn't stay that way, obviously,
No.
because it ended up being a Mercedes Red Bull sandwich for the top four. But Yeah, it was very oddly satisfying, I thought. And I think it's always nice to see some of the underdogs reach the top 10, but I do think Yuki is a bit of an underdog to reach the top 10, even though he is in arguably one of the five best teams on the grid at the moment. So I think he making the top 10, he's really proved himself. I think he's taken a lot in the past few races about his talent, but I think recently he's really proving himself. Like, he's been on the defense a lot, even against Lewis at one point. I think he's been doing some great defending moves, and getting to the top 10 in quali is only going to help people's positive opinion of him. I do think he's talented. He just needs to adapt to F1. He is his first season at the end of the day.
And I think he's doing well to defend against Lewis. I saw in the race when Lewis was desperately trying to get past him at one point, and Yuki just wasn't having it, which I think is impressive to say he's an AlphaTauri. Although Lewis did eventually get past, of course, to hold him off for as long as he did, it was good.
In an AlphaTauri and as a
Yeah.
rookie as well. Because when Gasly does it, I'm like, yeah, but he's been in the AlphaTauri for years now. But when Yuki does it, I'm like, you're new to this. You know, it's more impressive.
I do think we're going to see big things from Yuki in the next few seasons.
Definitely. I think the midfield is doing quite well, with Raikkonen and Alonso battling for positions that aren't in the points. They're still battling despite their age, which Gemma made an interesting point about.
Yeah, I just think it's great to see them getting so fired up. Like, those team messages to the FIA when they were like, "And Raikkonen's okay to do that." Like,
It's so
Alpine were getting
sassy.
so sassy. I loved it. It was so entertaining. Just, and they were like, "Are you allowed to do that?" And the FIA were like, "No." And they were like, "So how's Raikkonen allowed to do that then?" It was quality. But no, I think it's great that they weren't really gaining anything out of it. They weren't going to get any points, like, regardless of which of the two positions they finished in. Obviously, Alonso didn't even finish the race in the end, but you know, he provided us with some good entertainment while he was racing, so thanks Alonso.
Was funny to watch it. It's funny that they're still really competitive, even though they're not world champions anymore. And I think Alonso has since said that he thinks it was strange Raikkonen was allowed to overtake him off track with no penalties, given that when Sainz did that, he had to give the place back. So he said that he found that a bit unfair, but it was just quite funny.
Yeah, to be fair, Raikkonen probably did. I don't know if he did end up giving him the place back eventually after the Alpine team sassed the FIA. But yeah, no, it was very entertaining to watch, even though it didn't really affect the result of the race whatsoever.
It's nice to have them little bits thrown in there, like an
Yeah.
agreement. Also, there were some collisions and close collisions. Firstly, between Stroll and Latifi, they did spin, managed to get back on track, and then Sainz and Ricciardo's contact, which was very, very close. Watching it was quite wheel to wheel. What do you think about these? Like, who in these situations, I always find it hard to place the blame sometimes when you watch it back. So, what did you think watching that?
I think racing incidents a lot of the time. I think it's really hard to really blame anyone. I think the McLarens and the Ferraris were so close, but especially like in the first half of the race, like lap one and stuff, they were really battling it out, like all four of them. And obviously Lando didn't end up he finished eighth. It wasn't as high as I think he hoped to finish, or that other people would have hoped him to finish. But yeah, I think they were just battling it out. It shows just how, I say, quite equal the Ferrari and the McLaren are this year. I think either of them could fight for third in the constructors, because they are both doing very well. I have heard a lot of people kind of speculating, had Carlos stayed at McLaren, would McLaren be able to challenge Red Bull and Mercedes? Because obviously Carlos is doing really well at Ferrari, so chances are he'd be doing just as well at McLaren. And obviously Daniel's not had a great season at times, so yeah, I've heard a lot of people saying that if Carlos had stayed at McLaren would have been miles ahead of where they are right now. But it's still nice to see them have their little battles with Ferrari, especially seeing as a few years ago McLaren were not at the point to even be battling at all. They were quite near the bottom. So yeah, and I think with Stroll and Latifi, I did find it quite funny because there were photos of both their girlfriends like hanging out in the paddock like just before the race, and then they obviously collided into each other, which is quite funny. But no, it was funny to see the two Canadian drivers spinning with each other. But yeah, I think both racing incidents at the end of the day.
On that note, I think it is weird to think about, like, they have to leave what happens on track on track, because I saw something an interview popped up where an interviewer asked Lewis, like, would you fight Max? And he was like, well, he's on 25 track. And I'm 36, but if he was 36. And I think that you never think about how intense the rivalries must be in real life, because we obviously don't see everything. We see the race. We see whatever is portrayed on Drive to Survive, and that's it.
I feel like they might as well fight on track if they're going to fight at all. Like, keep it on track. It's more entertaining for us to watch. I know there's the whole thing with Gasly and Ocon, where there's a lot of reports that they don't get on, and Gasly's always said it's because Ocon was very competitive on track, and then he couldn't be civil off track. Don't know how much of that is true. Ocon's never really said his own side to it, but yeah, I think it you have to keep it just on track. Because a lot of the drivers are such good friends, you can't hold things against your friend when you're not on the track anymore. I think you've got to have a different mindset when you're on and off track, I think.
I feel like a lot of these driving incidents sort of create a way to place blame onto each other. Like with the Stroll and Latifi collision, Aston Martin entirely laid the blame on Latifi and said that Stroll was an innocent victim, which I think is a bit much, and I maybe just kind of goes to show that if you have more money, you can sort of control the narrative more.
Definitely.
But I do think, yeah, they definitely like use them as a way to kind of like make each other look bad. And then with the Sainz and Ricciardo one, like on the team radio, Sainz was just like, oh, he did that on purpose, like he hit me on purpose, and he kind of like later in an interview said he wasn't sure if it was legal what he did.
I think when they're on the team radios, they say a lot sometimes, and I know like after one of the recent races, like people were saying that Lewis hated his team and that Lewis and Mercedes were beefing, but they weren't. It was just Lewis getting passionate on the track, and you do when you're on the team radio in a high pressure situation, you are going to say things that maybe you don't fully mean, and maybe when you're not in the heat of the moment anymore, you realize I was wrong in that moment, I was overreacting. But I think it just shows their passion. And yeah, like Max called Lewis an idiot on his team radio during one of the free practice sessions. Yeah. Like you do just lash out. I know there's been lots of situations where I've heard them going, he's an idiot, like on the radio, and worse language. But yeah, I think when you're on the team radio, you are going to voice your opinions because you're in that high stress, high pressure situation. And it doesn't, even though you blame someone in the moment, you might watch it back and be like, oh yeah, that was me. So
the only sense of team radio is off.
Brilliant.
Yeah. On that note, Lewis seemingly took out aggression and took P1 from Max on turn one when everyone thought they were going to collide. Obviously didn't retain it, but maybe because of Mick Schumacher, that might be something to discuss. What are your thoughts on that, Jasmine?
Well, in P1 when he overtook Max, I just feel like he was quite aggressive, he was ready to go, he started really well, and he wasn't afraid of collision like he has been before. He was like, no, I'm just gonna go for this, I'm gonna overtake, and he managed it. Obviously I feel like the strategy that Mercedes had with the pit stops maybe played a part as to why he can then get back his position later on.
They left it very last minute to try and overtake Max. It was like the last three laps, they were like, we're going for it. And it's like, okay, you've had about 50 to decide this. Yeah. Come on. Your time's running out. But yeah, obviously Lewis's tyres at the end were, I think they were about 8 laps younger than Max's, Christian Horner said on the team radio at the end, which is, you know, a substantial difference. And it should have meant that Lewis could catch Max, but he obviously didn't have enough time because 3 laps isn't long enough. I think if there'd been a couple more laps, he probably would have made it. But Mick being in the way, that was I mean, Max got DRS from Mick, which obviously allowed him to go faster, and then Lewis couldn't get DRS from Max, and he was kind of stuck not being able to catch him. So yeah, I think Mick did help a bit, and probably should have moved out the way, but it kind of worked in Max's favour in the end.
I feel like the fact that Max got DRS just like secured him the win. Like, there was no way that Hamilton could overtake him after that.
Yeah, the gap was so big.
Yeah
exactly. The commentators were like, it's over, and they were like, oh, still on the last lap, and the commentators were like, we know it's not happening.
It was quite funny on the radio when Max was like, tell Mick to get out the way.
It's like, no, don't. He's actually helping you. It was quite funny.
They said, like the commentator said before, that he's normally quite good at moving out the way to let the leaders pass, but for some reason he just wasn't doing it this time round.
Everyone has a slip up.
Yeah, that's true. I saw a lot of people on social media. I think I saw a poll where I think well over 50% of people voted that they thought that Max and Lewis were going to have a collision during this race. And then on the first lap, I was like, oh, okay, maybe they were right, but I'm glad they didn't.
It would be turn one. Where it'd be most likely, and I was just bracing myself for it.
Yeah.
Even as all the cars started, they were all very, very close.
Yeah.
Closer than usual.
They were.
Like, I was bracing myself for something to happen.
I'm glad they didn't, because Max was my mega driver on my fantasy team this week. So I needed that win for the points.
He had a great drive. He won driver of the day.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. It's quite rare for the winner of the race to win driver of the day. Usually it's kind of like an underdog who's worked their way up or something like that. So that speaks volumes for his performance. I think that he got that. I thought Checo also could have potentially deserved driver of the day as well. I think it was a Red Bull dominated race. Either of the Red Bulls, really, they were amazing.
I feel that none of our predictions from last week were accurate.
I can't even remember what I said, but I feel like they were awful. I think I said a Mercedes dominated race, just because obviously it's been since 2013 since Red Bull won at Austin. So I just thought this is a Mercedes favouring track. They're gonna dominate. That was before I knew about the Valtteri Bottas engine penalty, so I didn't know that at the time. So maybe if I'd known that, I would have changed what I said, but we'll forget I ever said that. Also, I definitely said Red Bull would win.
Also, it makes sense because I said that Pierre Gasly would be driver of the day, and he definitely was.
Oh boy. No. Suspension failure.
Yeah,
the retirements. There was a lot of car failures.
Yeah, none of them were because of crashes at all.
That was something which I found odd. There were so many retirements, and both the, Gasly, Ocon, Alonso.
Yeah.
Ocon and Alonso on the same team, both the Alpines.
That's the first time they've both not finished a race and not finished in the points for ages. Like, I think, since the start of the season, that's the first time neither of them have got points. So it's a shame to see them both retire, especially when Alonso took that engine penalty. I don't really know what went wrong with him, because his car should have been in the best shape possible, but clearly wasn't.
As we said, they didn't have many spins or contacts, not even small ones, which could have maybe affected it.
I think Gasly got damaged from the track surface or something, I read. His suspension got damaged, but I'm not really sure exactly the process behind it. But it was a shame to see him have to retire, but at least Yuki managed to finish.
Do you think that teams have more of a responsibility to make sure that the car won't fail their drivers?
I think, in a way they do, because if the drivers aren't doing anything wrong in the race and the car just fails, that goes back to the team.
The team have a lot of responsibility. Yeah. Strategy is another big one as well. And strategy was a big factor in this race. And just making sure the car is the best it can be. However, if the car picks up damage on the track or something like that, it can just be anything from hitting a curb can damage your suspension and stuff like that. So it's difficult, because the team can probably do everything they can, but they can't stop the car from failing. Technology can fail sometimes, even if there's no human error involved. So I think it is the team's responsibility, but you can't just be putting blame on people all the time. I think you just have to accept the situation for what it is and just get on to the next race.
Yeah, that links a lot to Perez this race. Did not have the best conditions in his car at all. Ran out of water for the whole race, which I don't know how he lasted.
Neither. It was so warm as well.
On the grid beforehand, Russell was saying how hot it was.
I think it was 37 degrees.
It was and he was already ill.
Yeah.
So I think he did such an amazing job to do as well as he did, given his condition.
He was also on a different strategy to a lot of the other drivers, because they didn't save enough hard tyres for him. So he had to stay on mediums for longer, which wasn't the recommended strategy. I think they were recommended to start on mediums, then change to hards, then change to hards again. That a two-stop strategy, and he had to do mediums, then hard. So he really wasn't on the ideal strategy. He didn't have any water. He was ill. It wasn't the ideal conditions, and yet he never once sat there and got angry or blamed his team or got annoyed. He really just didn't play the blame game and just took it in his stride. And I think he really handled it very maturely, seeing as he wasn't feeling his best. He's got his home race coming up next time. So, I mean, even though Texas is so close to home, it's basically like a second home
Yeah.
race to him. But it's nice that he'll have another home race soon, and hopefully the
Yeah.
conditions will be better for him.
It's pretty amazing that he managed to get on the podium considering all that was happening. The fact he was ill and didn't have any water. Like, I don't understand how he must have done that. He must have been superhuman or
Yeah,
something.
seeing him down in red blood after the race was quite funny to watch.
Hashtag sponsored.
Yeah, I think the results of the race were just, well, none of us predicted it right.
No,
We laugh
we
about
tried.
that. But they were quite, they were sort of what you expect, but at the same time not. Hamilton with his fastest lap, that just shows his fight for the podium, for pole position, which he just couldn't get off of Max. I feel like he often just has to settle for the fastest lap, and
Yeah,
I
I
feel
think
like there comes a point in the race where he knows he's gonna have to
the
settle.
team realized this is not going to happen, I think, and
Yeah.
then just they really pushed that. Obviously, 1 point is better, 1 point extra is better than not getting that point. So
Yeah.
it's better than nothing, and even though it's helped him close the gap a bit, at the end of the day, if whoever wins the next race is probably going to overtake in the championship again. So the gap isn't that big. It's one race could change it completely. So pushing for that extra point is definitely worth it when it's so close. But
Definitely.
obviously, fastest lap isn't as good as getting the pole position, getting the win. But it's something at least, I guess.
I really feel like Hamilton gave it all this race. Like, he gave it his best, and it just didn't match up to Red Bull's strategy. I just feel like they were really cohesive as a team, and they just ultimately were the best team of the weekend.
Hamilton didn't seem to get annoyed with the team or annoyed with
I was
himself
surprised at
either.
that,
I think he knew that it was no one's fault. No one made a mistake, really. Apart from the only mistake I'd say they made is leaving it quite late to decide to really go for it. I think they should have made that decision a bit earlier, but obviously it didn't really work with their strategy to do that. So they did what they could, really. And Hamilton didn't really make any mistakes. I don't really think the team made any mistakes. It came down to the fact that Red Bull were just faster
I
and
think
better.
Mercedes just know that Red Bull have something more in their car this season. And
Yeah.
as much as they try to do all these engine changes and try and emulate it, they just can't. So I think
Yeah.
also because of Max's ability, I think because he's just so ruthless on the track. But I feel like Hamilton is as well, but he's holding back a tiny bit more. Like, that's the vibe which I get when I compare the two drivers. Although, to be fair, the race was still dominated by the Max and Lewis rivalry, which we say was the most exciting part of the
Yeah,
race.
I think so. I think it was the main focus this week. Like other races, there's been a lot going on in the midfield, a lot going on with either crashes, spins, like all happening in the background. But I think everyone was just captivated by what was happening at the front of the race this time.
That was definitely the bit where I was on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, it was the bit that was the most exciting. Like usually, sometimes in the background there's something going on, and there were things going on, but nothing to really distract you from who's going to win it, Max or Lewis, really.
Yeah, and this was the first Red Bull win in Austin since 2013, which we already mentioned, and Max winning driver of the day. So I think that shows not only Formula One's overtake in America, but also Red Bull's domination in America, because the crowd was just full of Red Bull supporters as well, which
Especially
I
because with
felt,
Checo, I think it part of that was the fact that Checo has moved to Red Bull since they last did a race in Austin, because obviously all of his Mexican fans can easily get to Texas,
Definitely.
literally just crossing a border.
And I think
So,
that extra support in the crowd must cheer them on, like
yeah.
Hamilton and Silverstone.
Yeah. There's nothing quite like a home race, and I know it wasn't Checo's home race, but it was close enough.
I feel like as when a Verstappen overtook Hamilton, there was just like a massive cheer from the crowd that I just wasn't expecting that,
That
but
must like knock Hamilton a little bit, surely. Like, I know he must be used to it because he had all those races, like Max's home race, where obviously just an orange army. And there was lots of booing for Hamilton at quite a few of the races earlier on. So he must be used to it, but it must be a bit disheartening when you know the crowd aren't behind
I
you.
think also when he's a seven-time world champion, and I think this is the first time where maybe his like hype is dying down and going to Verstappen. Like, if you think a few years back, it was just Hamilton, Hamilton, Hamilton.
I think there's still a lot, there's still six races, there's still a lot to play for though. I think if Hamilton comes back strong next week, the hype will automatically shift back to him. It's like a pendulum at the moment, just like going back
you
and
can't
forth.
Predict
Yeah,
it.
Exactly.
Max is only 12 points ahead of Lewis, so that is not a lot at all in the grand scheme.
It's one race could change that, because if the next race, for example, Hamilton wins and Max has to retire, that's
a
and complete game changer. Exactly. It would completely change it. So I think when Max does win, if Max does win the championship, then it will be very much, we will look back at this race and be like, that was one of his best moments. But it's difficult to say, even if Max will win. So
Because I think the results were sort of predictable with a Red Bull dominated podium. You never really get the Ferrari on there, which we really wanted this week.
I know a lot of people predicted Gasly would get a podium at some point.
Like just someone different. Gasly, Leclerc.
I think Sainz is about due a win, to be honest with you. I think Sainz is due a win because he has had so many podiums. I was looking at the stats and like related to other people who are at the same kind of teams and level as him, he's had so many podiums and he just really deserves a win. I feel like he's come close so many times. Obviously he was right behind Gasly and Monza. He's had so many situations where he's, you know, nearly been there, and I do think he deserves it. Obviously when Lando was in the lead, Sainz was right there ready to take him a few races back. So yeah, I think Sainz is one of the ones who I'd really like to see get a win. He's had quite a few podiums. I'd love to see him on that top spot. But yeah, it is usually either Max, Lewis, Valtteri, Max, Lewis, Checo.
I just feel like Red Bull are just quite good at like having their drivers finish close together. I just feel like they're quite cohesive
this
as a
year,
team.
Anyway.
Well, definitely this year.
Last year, let's not talk about that one. Sorry, Alex Albon, but you weren't you didn't make as many appearances on the podium as Checo has. But he'll be back at Williams, so New starts for Alex next year.
And speaking of next year, I guess the final point I wanted to draw upon was Max recently called Drive to Survive fake and said he won't be appearing next year, which I think is maybe a bad move from him because he could potentially get more support through the show. And also from a fan's perspective, I'd want to hear what his thoughts on everything that's happened this season with this intense rivalry. But what do you think about the whole concept of Drive to Survive and Verstappen pulling out? What do you think, Jasmine?
Well, I think it's very entertaining to watch. Obviously, we're not there with the drivers, so it's hard to know what is real and what's actually just been hyped up by Netflix for drama. In terms of Verstappen pulling out, I feel like if that's what he wants to do, then fair enough. Generally, he has been portrayed as quite like negative or like kind of made out to be the enemy in it. So I feel like if he's kind of sick of that narrative, then fair enough. Like he just doesn't want to deal with that anymore.
I do think everything on Drive to Survive, no matter if it's true or not, is over dramatized. It's an entertainment TV show at the end of the day. Like that is what it is. It's based on real events, but they are going to over dramatize them, add some music in there, add some dramatic shots, because that's what it's for. It's for entertaining. So I think it's inevitable, but I do think when Max has appeared on it in past seasons, he has been portrayed as a bit of a villain at times. But I don't know, I think it could have really benefited him. And obviously there's been a lot of surveys lately that Formula One have been doing about like who the fans' favorite driver is, favorite team is, and Max was the most favourite driver in those surveys, so he clearly has a lot of support already. I think Drive to Survive could have helped that, but it also could have diminished that, so I see that it's a bit of a risk. I think he's quite an old-fashioned soul. I think having a dad who's very like obviously been a driver, been in motorsport, has kind of influenced him in a way. I think he's got quite an old-fashioned mindset towards it, which isn't an awful thing at all. I think he's there for the racing, and he knows his truth, and I just don't think he wants anyone to alter that at all. I think he's just like very head down focused, wants to get on with the racing, and he doesn't want any distractions. He doesn't want a camera filming him. He doesn't want to be in the spotlight. He just wants to get on with the racing. So I do respect that in a way.
I feel like Drive to Survive kind of presents itself as a documentary, so you kind of expect it to be realistic or accurate, but the more you watch it and the more you listen to the drivers speaking about it, you kind of realize that a lot of it is just dramatized.
I saw it described as a docudrama once, and I thought that was quite an accurate description of it, because it is a documentary to some extent.
It is informing when you watch it, but it's very much got its own narrative.
And I think they have shifted the narrative a lot in certain episodes. The Lando and Carlos like rivalry, that was probably overdramatized, the most overdramatic moment of the last season. I think there's been lots of moments, obviously in the first season was very focused on Daniel Ricciardo and Max was his teammate, and I think that kind of made Max look worse in a way, because Daniel Ricciardo was very much portrayed as the protagonist in that season. It is difficult, and I do see where he's coming from. I do think that they should put a bit more focus on the fact that it's over dramatized, maybe, so people don't think that it is real. But it does strike as a bit weird to me that Max is the only one that has an issue with it. He's out of 20 drivers, he's the only one who has spoken out on this, and everyone else, all the other drivers on the grid, seem to love it and think it has a really good effect on F1. So you have to kind of question why Max is the only one who has a different opinion.
I think that's just because he is portrayed as the main villain, even though in other episodes, like, they twist it, so like Lando being ahead of Carlos and everything. Throughout the whole series, it's been consistent that Max is the villain who's come to sweep in and take Hamilton's title away.
Yeah. Obviously, Mercedes weren't in Drive to Survive for quite a long time. Yeah. They didn't get into it till I think it was the latest season. Yeah. So they've had their like reservations about it as well. So I think obviously Max isn't the only one to show doubt about the series as a whole, but Mercedes have obviously grown to realize, this is fine, I think they wanted to give it a bit, let the other teams have a bit of a test run with it, and then they thought, okay, we've seen what it's like, we'll give this a go. I do think if they were to cover the Max and Lewis rivalry, it would probably be very much portrayed like Lewis being the good guy, based on how they've portrayed Max in the past. So I think he just doesn't want the drama, to be honest. I think Max just wants to focus on the racing and doesn't want to deal with the dramatic side to things.
Yeah, definitely, I agree. And the next race is in Mexico. What do you think? What are your predictions?
Checo podium again. Yeah. I hope. I really want it to be.
I want a win from him. That'd be ideal.
Yeah. I know he's won one this season, but I want another.
It's his home race. Like, surely that's got to give him some advantage.
Yeah. And Mexican drivers in Formula One, there's like, you know, it's not like there's lots. he's the only Mexican driver, so I really want him to just have his moment there. Apart from that, obviously, if Checo's doing well, Max will probably do well. So I guess if I'm predicting Checo to do well, I have to say that Max will as well.
And Lewis up there as well.
Yeah, he's bound to be.
It might be a similar podium that we had this race, just in a different order.
Yeah, maybe.
Definitely. So it's been an interesting race this week to talk about in Austin. And hopefully in Mexico, there'll be a lot more drama to discuss. Thank you for listening. We've been Girls in Pole Position. You can follow us on Instagram now. We've set up our page at Girls in Pole Position.
We got that app.
Yeah, we have to get it in there. Thank you for listening. We'll see you after the next race. Bye.
Bye.